Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. Today's date is September the 12th, 2015. And today's topic is polygamy, part three. First and foremost, I want to give Allah praise and thanks for allowing me to see this day, have use of all my faculties, my limbs, and have consciousness of my mind. Those are some very important things that I think Muslims take for granted every day, as we've seen in Saudi Arabia, in Mecca. Several Muslims lost their lives yesterday in that horrific accident where the crane collapsed on the masjid. Let's make dua for those people and their families. It's not easy losing someone, and especially if you're not with them or are far apart from them. But we know as Muslims that the way they died, they will receive tremendous benefits for their deaths and the way that they died. That we just keep them in our du'as and keep their families in our du'as. The reason why I picked the topic of polygamy again is because, you know, a lot of people, and sometimes I don't even realize this my own self, a lot of people look to me as someone that they can talk to in confidence. And I don't reveal people who speak to me in confidence. I may reveal the situation and story, but I will never reveal the person who revealed that information to me. And you know, that's just the way you're supposed to handle certain situations. No matter what happens, I'm not going to reveal who that person is. A lot of sisters come to me because they feel like I'm knowledgeable. I know enough. We will never know everything in this religion that we are supposed to know. We will only skim the surface of what we're supposed to know and how in-depth that we're supposed to know it and how in-depth we're supposed to understand it. And by no means, you know, by no means do I want sisters to think that I'm ganging up on the brothers. Because if you listen to my calls and my show, you will understand that I provide the information for both situations, for brothers and sisters. I do not take sides. People may feel that I take sides because you want to cover up what needs to be revealed. I am only providing clarification on what Allah Azza wa Jal said or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Qadira is not making this up. Qadira is not using her own kalam or speech. For those of you who are not Muslim listening, and I'm using, you know, the Arabic terminology for certain words, I'll try to remind myself to make sure that I state the English words for those terminologies. I don't make stuff up. I don't try to sugarcoat anything. If someone comes to me and says to me that certain things, you know, are happening or going on and so forth and so on, I try to provide clarification from what I have taken directly from Quran and authenticated hadith. Qadira doesn't use her own opinion on things. And if someone shows me that I am in error, I have no problem accepting it. I know I'm not right 100% of the time, and I could even be off a slight bit in what I state. And if you correct me on that, I have no problem with taking the correct dalil. And what I mean by dalil is information, Islamic information that proves a certain fact or matter. Now, for those of you who want to call in, and if you, you know, you want to speak or you just want to listen, the number is 805-727-7013, and you just press option 1 and you'll be put through. When Salatul Maghrib comes in, I will break so that, you know, we can go pray, and then I'll rejoin the call. You know, when I state things, and sometimes, you know, I like to be funny, you know, I like to make jokes about certain things and say certain things, you know, just to lighten things up and things of that nature. But a lot of people get mad at the fact of the matter of the things that I say. And the fact of the matter is that what I'm stating is not wrong. Sisters, polygyny are giving up their rights just to be married. Just to be married. Now, when that brother goes and use those rights, because you said he doesn't have to maintenance you, he don't have to pay rent, he don't have to pay your gas electric bill, he don't have to provide food for you, he don't have to provide clothes for you, and you could be doing everything that you're doing correctly, giving him his rights, maintaining the home, but because he doesn't have to maintenance you, he will use that funds, those funds, his earnings, his wealth, able to afford another wife. Now, you will get angry, possibly, jealous, possibly, but whose fault is that? This brother would not be able to take on another wife, possibly, if you required him to maintenance you. There is a real clear specific reason that in Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla has stated that men are the maintainers of women. It's a reason for it. It's not something to joke about or something to take lightly. Allah Azza wa Jalla in his infinite wisdom know how these sisters are. He created us. He made us women. We get in our feelings, we become spiteful, we become arrogant, we get in our feelings, especially around the time, you know, for our menstrual. We get in our feelings. This is why there is a requirement for two women witnesses can only fit for one man. So if you're witnessing something and you're a woman, you need two women witnesses. This is also the reason why wives can't pronounce a talaq, divorce. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla knows we get in our feelings. He knows how we get. He knows that we flip-flop on issues and so forth. And so, sisters, when you're in your feelings and you're loving this brother, oh, he's this, he's that, oh, I'm going to relinquish my rights, and, oh, we're going to get married, and then when he go get another wife, then you get in your feelings. You should have thought about that before you gave up your rights. It's a reason for it. It's a balance. It's a balance, sisters. Brothers, you should be ashamed of yourself if a woman tells you that she wants to give up her rights to marry you, that you don't have to maintenance nothing but maintenance her. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's stop playing with the religion. We're not going to flip-flop here. We're not going to do it. It's either you're in or you're out. There's no in-between. And we know this, and we want to continue to play with this, and we want to continue to play with this religion, and then you wonder why people take Islam for a joke, because people don't take it seriously. They use what part of the religion they want to use for themselves and then deviate off the path of it. I mean, let's just keep it clear. Let's be understood. And, yes, I get very passionate passionate about these things because these are things that I see that affect the Ummah on a daily basis. I see this every day. I get these sisters in my inbox calling me, crying because of the situations they're in, because first and foremost, they didn't know no better. And you brothers piggyback on their ignorance. Sisters, stop letting these brothers con you into using their friends as the walil or the wakil for the marriage. Stop letting them do it. Go to the masjid and sign up to get proper guidance on the marriage process. Stop doing these backdoor marriages. Stop getting his friend to perform the marriage because he knows some Arabia. Go to the masjid. Do it properly. Now, I know people say, oh, no, you don't have to go to the masjid. You don't have to do this and that, doing this and that. But then y'all want to run to the masjid as soon as you got a problem in your marriage. Stop with the foolishness, people. Like, seriously, come on. We got to stop taking this marriage thing for a joke. Now, the real reason why I changed the topic on the whole thing regarding, you know, the marriage thing and polygyny is because of, you know, I want to keep it real with y'all. Brothers, you want to take on another wife. And I'm just using these assumptions that, you know, I did for a calculation on what it would really be if you had to take on another wife and you were already married. So let me go to my post that I made up earlier. And in this post, I'm using, let's be clear, I'm using the basic necessities of a sister living in the United States for today's time. The basic. I'm not being extravagant in the numbers that I use because, you know, it's the basic. As it states in Quran, as it states in Hadith, men are the maintainers of the women, and he is to provide her basic needs. Her basic needs would be food, clothing, and shelter. So with food, clothing, and shelter, that would mean be the clothes on her back. That would be the roof over her head. And that would be the food that she has to eat. So before I get into this, Salatul Maghrib just came in. Before I get into this, and before I break it down statistically, again, I'm using basic numbers, basic, and I'm not even including everything. I'm just using the basic numbers. When I break this down, I want you all to really logically think if you could afford another spouse. That's all I'm asking, brothers. I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm not asking you to disagree with me. I just want you to take in these numbers that I use, and these are statistically correct numbers for living in the United States today, today's time, what goes on, what's the standard of living, and so forth. I took these numbers, and I used them statistically to match what today's time means. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going after we make Salatul Maghrib, I'm going to let you hear these numbers, and I want them to soak in, and then I want you to understand why I'm doing this topic on polygyny. It's not that I'm saying I'm against polygyny, absolutely not. It's allowed. It's in Quran and Hadith that you can have more than one wife. But you must be able to maintain both of them equally. And I'm not just talking about maintaining the sisters. I'm talking about maintaining your children if you have children with them sisters. If you don't have children with them maintenance yourself, because nobody's giving you a handout to take care of yourself. So I want all of this to soak in. I want all of this to be clearly understood, what this religion is about, how it works, and why it has worked for so long. It's not something that was just made up or somebody just starting allowing it. It's been in effect. But we choose to take what we want, what we think is beneficial to us, and turn it to fit our situation and needs. And we know this is not how Islam works. I don't care how you feel, you can't disagree with that. So right now, I am going to, break so we can do Salatul Maghrib. And then when we return, continue the conversation, and then I will go into actually breaking down the statistical numbers on what it is to live in the United States today and be able to maintenance and maintain your wife and your children and yourself in today's time. Inshallah, I'll return shortly.
إن الذين يأكلون أموالا
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, so we have made Salat al-Maghrib, which is a must. There's no need to delay Salat for any circumstances. It's something that we have to get done as Muslims following the Sunnah and the Quran. So, back to the reason why I chose to do this show again on the topic of polygyny is because, you know, like I said, I get sisters who contact me via, you know, inbox. They call me, you know, complaining about certain situations and things that they're in, you know, as far as marriage and so forth. And again, I'm no, you know, scholar in Islam, and, you know, I don't know these things. I do hold the bachelor's degree in mental health and social services. So I am qualified to speak on certain issues regarding and pertaining to the rights of women and children, and I do add Islamic perspective to that, not use things that are, you know, obtained in the dunya for this. So I do apply it because a lot of times it foregoes the rights when you use the dunya's terminology and statistics of what they say, you know, are the rights of the women, men, and children. And some of those things sometimes don't equal to what Islam states. So I do that much. So the reason why I changed the topic again is because I wanted to break down statistically what Islam says about what the rights of women are. And I just want it to be known that, sisters, you do not have to give up your rights to get married. Don't let this be, oh, you know, I can teach you, oh, you know, this and that, and, you know, my other wife, she gave up her rights, you know, because, you know, I'm knowledgeable in Islam and this and that, and you forego that, and then you get put into a situation where, hey, you get put in a bind, you lose your job, your husband can't take care of you. He can't take care of you. Why he can't take care of you? Because you relinquished your rights for him to do so to get married. You said it was cool. Oh, brother, such and such, you ain't got to pay my rent. You know, this and that. You lose your job, and he can't pay for it. Now you're homeless. It's your law that don't happen. time to tie your camel. Yeah, we put our faith in the law as a wajah with situations, but we got to learn how to tie our camel too. Stop being stupid. And I'm saying it just like that. Stop being stupid and ignorant. All because you want to be married. There are stipulations with being married. Marriage is not easy. Any and everybody can get married, but the deal and the fact of the matter is staying married. Everybody plans for the wedding, but nobody plans for the marriage. Sister, you living paycheck to paycheck, but you allow this brother to con you into saying relinquish your rights so you can get married. You lose your job, and he can't help you. He can't help you. He can't give you a dime. You wind up in a homeless shelter. His other wife is still in the house. He's still feeding and maintaining her. Why? Because she ain't give up her rights. We got to think about the bigger picture here, sisters and brothers. We got to think about the bigger picture and stop thinking about just fulfilling our nafs. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not marry these sisters at the Khadijah radiallahu anha, who passed away. He was married to her for 25 years in monogamy. When he got married and married the other sisters, the mothers of the Ummah, he didn't marry them to fulfill his nafs. They had different obligations, and there was different reasons why he married them. Take them out of slavery or bondage. They were widowed. Their husbands was killed in combat. He married them because he didn't want them to be single on their own. He took them in and he married them. He gave them the status of a wife and married them. Y'all better learn y'all religion. That's what y'all need to do. Y'all so worried about what's going on out here in this world and not worrying about y'all religion and then want to half step in the religion. That's not how it works. Me personally, I ain't giving up my rights for nothing. I want each and every last one of them. Why? Because Allah said I deserve them. Why? Because men are the maintainers of men. We take the maintenance away from the men and give it to the women. You're going to have a woman that sass you, talk back to you, downgrade you, talk to you any kind of way. Why? Because you're not maintenance her. You're not paying her bills. That's an obligation that Allah gave to the men over the women. Allah did it for a reason, because he know how we get in our feelings, and he know how we get when it's that time of the month. Then you, oh, I'm divorcing her. She don't know how to be respectful. Why should she be respectful to a man that don't do nothing for her? All he do is come over and give her some halal sex and roll out and be with his next wife. You don't pay a bill there. You don't buy no food for her. You don't buy no clothes for her. But you want to tell her what to do, and you think she going to listen to you? And you ain't doing nothing for her? As they say, you got me chopped and screwed. That sister's not going to respect you, because she's maintaining you. She's making the situation easy for you. And sisters, if you allowed this to go on, don't get mad at what the brother do, because you allowed it. You allowed it to go down. You allowed this to happen. You allowed him to forego his rights because you wanted to get married. Now, yes, we know that marriage is half of your deen and you should complete that. We know that the numbers of men are way less than the women, and that in the future, during the signs of the end of the days, that the number will even increase for the number of women to men. We know this. But what I'm trying to explain to you is, don't do it if you can't do it completely. I'm just trying to help y'all out. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help y'all out, because when you remain ignorant, ignorance prevails. When you remain ignorant, ignorance prevails. When Brother A see Brother B with three wives and the brother ain't got a job, and these sisters on state assistance from everything, brother A going to think that he can do what brother B do because he sees it. And it's not stopped, it's not talked about in the community that these practices need to stop. Even Sheikh Fawzan said, stop it. Stop the Mashiach marriage of foregoing your right, sister. So for all the Salafis that's on the phone, your own Sheikh says, stop it. He said, stop it. Now, it's not haram to do, but stop it, because it takes away what the man was created to do, and that is take care and maintain the woman. If you can't even maintain one wife, how you maintaining two? And we're not even talking about the kids who are involved in this matter. And we're not even talking about you for this matter. Brother, you have, your body has rights over you. I forget that. I'm not like I said, I'm not speaking from what I feel or what I know and how Quadira feels about this. I'm speaking about this from Quran and Sunnah. Brothers, your body has rights over you. You working 24 hours almost a day. You getting 2 hours of sleep. You think your body ain't going to start to shut down? You think you're not going to incur health problems because of that? Your body, on average, needs at least 5 to 6 hours, at least 5 to 6 hours of sleep. Body will start to shut down if you do not get that sleep. Your brain needs to rest. It needs to go into REM sleep. Every night, your body needs that, or every day, however your schedule is set up, that your body needs REM sleep, because your body maintenances itself when you're asleep. Your body filters itself when you're asleep. If you notice, when you get up in the morning and you go urinate, your urine is a darker, heavier color than it is throughout the day. That's because most of the intoxicants and the impurities that's in your body is being filtered at night or when you sleep. I'm trying to help y'all stop being ignorant with this whole marriage stuff. I'm not taking up for the sisters. I'm not taking up for the brothers. I'm trying to let y'all know what's going on and how to correct it. People look at Philly Muslims as jokes. They don't even consider y'all Muslims. They say it's some cult-like behaviors that's going on in Philly, and y'all should steer clear from them. And we got some of the most knowledgeable brothers and sisters in the United States right here in Philly, but nobody wants to take from us or adhere to what we're trying to say because of our actions. Knowledgeable brothers and sisters in Islam right here in Philly. But nobody wants to take part of it because of how y'all go about your daily situations. And if nobody else is speaking on it, who will? Who's going to stand up and start speaking on this and really putting their foot down and saying this type of behavior's got to stop? It's not a joke, people. It's not a joke, because on the day of judgment, on the day of Yom Kiyama, you're going to be held accountable for your sins and your actions. And you mistreating your wife. Brothers, I'm not even going to get into that. You already know what's going to happen, y'all. If y'all gave one wife preference over the other, or you didn't do what you knew you were supposed to do for your wife, you already know what's going to happen to you on the day of judgment if Allah Azza wa Jal don't forgive you for those sins and for those transgressions. You already know what's going to happen to y'all. And sisters, because you mad at the brother because he, you know, went and did something else for his other wife, all because you didn't require your rights when you got married, don't get mad and not give that brother his rights, because you know what's going to happen to y'all. The angel's going to curse y'all all night long to the next morning if you don't give that brother his bed rights. This is why you think about stuff before you do it. Sisters, this is why you have a Wakil or a Wali, because we get in our feelings. And a man knows a man, and especially if this man is your blood relative, he is going to look out for you and your well-being. You could be all in your feelings. Oh, I love brother, such and such. Oh, yeah, we're getting married, this and that. Oh, it's going to be all good. And your Wakil come to you and say, no, sis, like, we not doing it. I see some things in that brother that I'm not cool with. And, you know, some of the things he has told me, I'm not cool with that. And I'm not cool with marrying you off to him because they don't sit right with me. And if he tells you this, sisters, adhere to what he's saying, because a man knows a man. And the law didn't say that you must have a Wakil or a Wali to get married for no reason. He didn't say these things for no reason. Because, again, sisters, we get into our feelings. We have hormonal indifferences and fluctuations going in our body. And then when we're pregnant, that's a whole nother issue with your hormones all over the place. We get in our feelings and we don't have that clarity that we should have. It's a fact. It's not something that we make up. We have hormonal indifferences that fluctuate throughout the month. There's another statistic. More women suffer from a mental disability than men do. And that's a fact. Our hormones, estrogen, progesterone, all those things control our moods and actions throughout the day. We got to stop playing with this and stop thinking it's a joke and really focus and adhere to what Allah Azza wa Jal has said in Quran and what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Hadith through his companions, through the Salaf. We have to adhere to this. Y'all can think it's a joke. Y'all can think it's a game. I'm just relaying, y'all, what I see. And I know what other people want to talk about. Some people too scared to talk about it because they afraid of backlash and so forth and so on. But if you state in Quran and Hadith, nobody can judge you on that. Nobody can say you're wrong. And if they say you're wrong, ask them why you're wrong for saying what you said. If you gave them the proper dalil and you gave them, told them in what is sound, They can't argue with that. So I'm going to go back to the numbers. We're just going to take a look here real quick on those numbers that I put up. And in my post I said, let's do the math to see if you are really getting your rights in polygyny. Okay, you can live on food for about $6 a day. If you're nursing, let's raise that to $8 because, you know, if you're nursing, you got to take in more nutrients and your body requires more nutrients than someone who is not nursing. Rent on average for a one-bedroom apartment is about $550 a month. Gas, electric, and water, let's add another $250. Now, I'm just going on average. Now, again, these numbers that I'm using are not including cable, cell phones, none of the luxuries, no luxuries. We ain't talking about no Netflix, no nothing. We're talking about basics. And this is what your husband is required to provide to you, the basics. Now, I said, you know, we add another $250 for clothing. And I said, I'm going to be cheap and say $20 for 7 overgarments, which you can get from East Essence or Mabatua. You can get overgarments $20 a piece. I'm being cheap because y'all know material alone is more than that. And if you're getting a sister to sew it, it's more than that. So even if you sew and he buys the material for you, your material going to cost more than that on average. You still got to buy needle, thread, and other things to sew. So even if you know how to sew and he's buying the fabric, still more than that. I said $20 for overgarments, for 7 overgarments apiece, $20 for underwear and socks. Now, I'm saying that, I'm talking about you shopping at Walmart, Foreman Mills. Now, we know we're half these sisters, we ain't shopping there to get no underwear and bras. Again, I said I did the basics. We're going to do $50 for 7 bras. Now, we all know that's a joke, especially for our sisters who are well endowed. We can't do no cheap bras. We got to go to Lane Bryant. We got to go to Avenue. Sometimes if we go into Victoria's Secret, we got to go order online to get those special bras for us. Even if you go to the outlets, Bally, so forth like that, you ain't getting no 7 bras for no $50. You might get 1 bra for $50 if you're a sister that's well endowed. So, again, I was making that number very cheap, very cheap. The basics of what a brother is required to do. A set of pots and other essentials to get your house started. We're going to say $150. Now, we know you ain't getting no good pots for $150. A good set of pots won't run you about $150 for one good set. Now, you got to get spoons, knives, forks, the other things. Again, like I said, I'm being cheap. I ran these numbers so low that these meet the basic requirements. Toiletries, $35. Laundry money, $20. Now, times that by 2, because that's for 2 wives. Then, let's say, brothers, you got 4 kids. So, for each child, let's say that the same $8 plus $75 apiece for health care. Because under Obamacare, you're not supposed to be using state insurance. And I didn't even add that $75 a piece for your wives. So you got to have insurance. Your kids got to have health insurance. Your wives got to have health insurance. All right. So that's $75 a month, and their clothing maintenance, I said the same times 20. So you buy your kids 7 outfits a piece at $20 a piece. Now, we already know that ain't happening. Even if you go to Children's Place or whatever like that, somewhere cheap, you ain't getting it for your kids. And I ain't even adding sneakers or shoes for these kids. All right. Now, again, I didn't even add in the maintenance for the brother himself. Let's see what that total comes up to. That comes to $4,810 a month. So this is on top of you giving the sister her dowry, her mare, which is required to give her, which she is due. On top of you taking care of your other wife. That was after taxes. Let's be clear here. A majority of these brothers, of you brothers, can't afford that a month. Nevertheless, ain't making that in 2 to 3 months. I'm talking about after taxes. We need to humble ourselves and accept the situation that we're in. Be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal that we have life, that we were even blessed to have one wife. Some brothers are struggling. They want to get that one wife, and they can't. You brothers got 2, 3 wives, and you're mistreating them. Be clear, these brothers who are doing this, 9 times out of 10, you're not paying this sister's health care. You're not paying your wife's health care. You're not paying your children's health care. You're not buying them their clothes like they should be. The state is taking care of them. Just because you see a sister who has Section 8, who has welfare, and got a place to live, that's not maintenance, brother. It's not maintenance. Sisters, these brothers should take you out of that situation and better your condition. If he can't take you, if, as the saying goes, if he can't take you out the hood, what you with him for? Because he know half the Quran. And I know people going to get on me about that, but let's be clear. Again, what do I say? Tie your camel. Yeah, you know half the Quran, but you ain't got no job. You ain't got no education. That's not going to pay the bills. I'm just being realistic. It's not going to pay the bills. And some sisters, you know, commenting on my post saying, oh, well, if that's her, if she want to do that, who would encourage that? Who would encourage that for, you encourage that for your daughters? You would tell your daughters to do that? I mean, let's be real. Oh, I'm a married, I'm going to tell, you know, my daughter, you know, my husband or my ex-husband, you know, that this brother is good for our daughter, and he don't got a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. Are you serious? If you wouldn't allow that for yourself or your daughters, why would you suggest that for somebody else? I mean, let's be real. You would marry your daughters off to somebody that knows half the Quran but can't give her nothing. Or you would be in support of your daughter marrying a brother who don't have hardly nothing, got a wife and all these kids, and all he can do is teach her Quran? You would marry your daughter off to somebody like that? I know you wouldn't. Unless you hate your daughter. I know you wouldn't. I wouldn't. I would tell that brother to get his life together, get his, you know, get his education, get his financial, you know, situation under control or whatever like that. And if he can provide equally for his wife and my daughter and take care of his kids and maintain my daughter or, you know, whoever in the right fit capacity, I would have no problem with approving it. And that's what Islam says. You have to be just. You don't even treat what your right hand possesses you in that matter. You got to treat slaves better than that. You got to give a slave, you can't torture a slave. You can't beat a slave. You can't, if you in war with somebody, you can't do that to them. But you going to say that's fit for you to do to somebody you married to? I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, I was raised by a mother and a father, and I was taught never to settle for less than you're worth. And people will argue with me about the, oh, which is worth, oh, he's knowledgeable, this and that, but he can't do nothing for me. Men are the maintainers of women. We have to adhere to that. We have to understand that. Get the task fair and understand what that means, what that breaks down to. Because when you leave a woman to herself, she will ruin you. If you let her. If you don't maintain her, women are evil like that. Why do you think of the majority of the women in the hellfire are women? First and foremost, let's expound on that. The reason why is not because they're only hard-headed, it's because they're ungrateful. They're ungrateful. So, again, men, if you got your wife working hard, she taking care of the kids, doing everything, and you ain't giving her nothing, she's going to be ungrateful. She's going to disrespect you. be disrespectful to you. She's going to sass you. She's going to tell you who you think you're talking to. You don't do nothing for me or these kids, and I don't care what you say. You can get up out of here with that. You think she ain't going to talk to you like that? A woman is more humble and more appreciative when her husband is taking care of you. If he's taking care of her, she knows how hard he works to provide for his family equally. And especially if she don't work, she appreciates that more. I'm just saying, she still might give you some problems, but she definitely ain't going to sass you and talk to you in the manner that she does. Pick and choose your battles, brothers. It's not all about the sister being pretty and this and that. Marry her for her knowledge in Islam. And if she's knowledgeable in Islam, she ain't going to let you get over on her with no foolery. And that's just what it is. She's not going to let you get over on her because she knows better. And if you know she knows better, that's even double the reward. You're like, oh, I can't. Oh, I know what I got to do because, you know, she won't quote that hadith and she won't quote that Quran. And, woo, I can't argue with her on it because she right, you know. So I ain't even going to go there with her. You only get what you allow. And if you allow the foolery to go there, that's exactly what you're going to get. Again, I'm not taking nobody's side. I'm telling you what Quran and Hadith state. It's a reason behind it. This is why you have to not just when you, you know, recite Quran, you recite it or whatever, you have to understand what you're reading. You have to understand what you're reciting. This is why we read the tafsirs on the surahs, to understand in a better way what is being said and how it's broken down and in a manner, in a fit way that we can comprehend. Because, yeah, you can read Quran, you can read Hadith and be like, yeah, that mean it. No, and it could mean something totally different. This is why we look to the authenticated sheikhs and scholars of Islam to provide that dalil to us so that we have a better comprehension of it. Again, we don't take it on our own and read it and interpret it how we want it to be interpreted. We have these sheikhs and these scholars who have studied years and years and years and studied under other people who studied years and years and years to understand what it means and understand it clearly and concisely so that we can live it out perfectly to the best of our ability. You know, I'm trying to look out for your best interest. I'm not saying I don't want you to get married. Everybody, you know, I want everybody to get married if they can, inshallah. That's what we're here for, to fulfill half our deen, to be reunited in Jannah with our spouses and our families. That's what we're here for. But don't be stupid doing it. Go to the masjid. Get a wakil, get a wali, whatever you got to do, get somebody that would treat you in a manner that they would look at you like their daughter. Because a brother who looked at you like his daughter, if he's not a blood relative, he's going to make sure you ain't marrying no joker. He's going to make sure that he knows your Islam is where it needs to be so that you're not taken advantage of and that you know better in certain situations. Brothers, we understand that the man's senses to sexual gratification is higher than a woman's. We get that. We know that. But brothers, pick and choose your battles. That's all I'm saying. If you can't afford more than one wife, and you know you can't afford more than one wife, and you got these kids, stop being silly. Seriously, like just stop. Stop. Stop being silly. Fast. Appreciate the one wife that you have. Make sure you're fulfilling all your obligations and rights to your first wife and to your children. And lastly, to yourself. These brothers out here think they Superman, this and that. They get this good job or whatever like this and that. But you still living paycheck to paycheck. You don't have no money put up. You ain't make hides yet. Instead of taking on that second wife, why not save that money so that you and your first wife can make hajj, and then inshallah in a couple of years, if you're still able to be able to take on another wife, you save up some more money, and then you can pay for her to go to hajj, and you can make umrah. Realistically, stop thinking for what's going to be self-gratifying for right here and right now. That's not what it's about. You're responsible for your actions. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't forgive you for those actions, your scale that on the left is going to be heavy. Allah knows what your intentions are before you even thought about making those intentions. He already knows what you're going to plot and plan to do. And sometimes he gives you exactly what your hand calls for. Oh, you want to get another wife? All right, I'm going to allow you to get another wife. And she's going to be a fitna and a trial to you. She's going to be such a fitna, you're going to wish you wasn't married to nobody. Think before you act on certain situations. Sister, stop letting these brothers coax you into getting into a marriage that you're not ready for. Now, I'm not saying don't be Muslim because we don't prolong the Shahada. If somebody wants to take their Shahada, you give them the Shahada. But, sister, learn your religion. And I'm not always talking about necessarily from your husband. Go to classes. Seek knowledge from, you know, reputable sources and so forth. Just don't rely on him because he's going to teach you what he wants you to know. He's going to teach you just like he would his child, but he's going to tell his child a little bit more. Everybody out here that says they're Muslim is not Muslim, and everybody doesn't have the clear, concise, good intention to lead you and keep you on the straight path. Some people are deviants. They want to lead you astray from the straight path. They want to confuse you and mix up this Islam. Be careful who you take your knowledge from. Make sure that they're reputable, that they can tell you who they learned under and who they learned under. If you don't understand Islam, now's the time to take the time out to learn it. You can't keep going around in this circle in the manner and the condition that we're currently in. People, again, this is for the people in the community that's in Philadelphia. People are looking at the Muslims in the Philadelphia area as jokes. They don't want to be a part of nothing that they do. They don't want to say they're associated with them in all anything that they do. Oh, I'm not dealing with them. I don't want to deal with no business with them. I don't want to take no knowledge from them. I don't care what they're doing. I don't want to be a part of it. Because ignorance is prevailing. We on the hot. We got to show them that we're on the hot and stop living by what we want to live by and start living by Quran and Sunnah. That's all I'm saying. That's all I wanted to relay in this message, again, regarding polygyny. This is my third show doing it on polygyny. It's more to it than saying I want another wife. It's more to it, brothers. Sisters, it's more to it. You got to understand what those reasons is and act on it. Stop taking this land for a joke. So I'm going to end the call now. You know, I'm a little hyped because these type of things, it really upsets me. I've been Muslim for 23 years. And it upsets me when I see these things that didn't take place years ago in Islam. I grew up in Philadelphia. I learned under the Muslims that were in Philadelphia, and I grew up in the community, and I was around older brothers and sisters, you know, when I first took Shahada, and they helped guide me and, you know, made sure that I understood what I was getting into, and they coached me, and they cared for me, and they treated me like I was their daughter. You don't see that nowadays. Everybody out for themselves. Inshallah, we can get this back to where it used to be. We can get the, you know, community back to how it used to be. Not all the fitna, backbiting, and slandering of people. It's sickening. And taking the religion as a joke without really understanding the full factors of what Islam means and how it should be practiced. Inshallah, you join me on Monday at 7 p.m., same bat channel, same bat station. Here on Religion Means Alive. Thank you for listening tonight. I am Qadira Aisha Muhammad. Check back on blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred to hear a replay of the show, or even if you want to hear past shows that I have hosted, just go back to that website and look for anything that has my name on it, and you can listen to the replay. If you want to contact me directly, you can call me 24 hours a day. I'm not necessarily saying that I'm going to answer the phone. You can text message me at 610-836-2120. You can reach me on Facebook, Qadira Aisha Muhammad. You can look up for, you know, any of the shows that I have on Instagram and so forth. You can use hashtag Religion Means Alive. And Shukran Jazukalo Khair for joining in. Thank you for those who are not Muslim. Thank you for joining in to the show. And Assalamu Alaikum.